might be at the...
Oh, here I can hear
it. This up.
That's fine. Okay, what?
Huh?
Yeah, you must have done... Yeah, make sure the little mic is facing up towards the staff, right?
I think it's...
Maybe I have to click on backwards. No, that's...
No, I think that's
okay,
about
that's,
right, huh?
That's sounding just fine.
Huh?
Yeah.
About the right distance.
Yeah, everything sounds fine.
Yeah, okay.
Mm-hmm.
So you snap it off and on there, do you?
Yep. So you...
The old Episcopal Church down on First Avenue. Or, not church, but the hospital down on First Avenue, which was later moved to Nenana when the St. Joseph
mm-hmm.
Hospital was built. So there wouldn't be competition between the two main religions. And I don't remember much about that.
You don't?
Except that it was cold, they said.
What year was that?
'09.
'09?
February,
wow.
February. Real cold, February. So that makes me over 75 years here.
Mm-hmm.
Except that I went to school in the States for about 5 years and then back and forth several trips.
Mm-hmm.
3 or 4 times on mostly for education. Once for health and the others for
mm-hmm.
education.
But
the rest of the time has been spent around here or in Alaska.
Mm-hmm.
I spent some time during the war years down on the coast in charge of camouflaging various installations down
mm-hmm.
there, confusing the captains of the steamers that had to come in there, yeah. And well, we had, that was an experience because I arrived in Seward in a blackout and I left there in a blackout, you know, whistle was blowing and hell, there was no reason for a blackout. But people were really skittish. I recall a real fine people that we had been in Alaska from real early days that during the war was so concerned that somebody would come and bomb the bridge down here at Nenana, then we wouldn't be able to get coal. You know,
yeah.
Silly things like that.
But that's what concerns people, you know, because everyday life with this.
People get scared very mm-hmm. easy. But,
they do.
And that brings up a subject that fear is, Roosevelt said something about that, you know, when he was campaigning for presidency, or after he was maybe elected the first time. Fear is still a great hindrance to people.
Oh,
you know.
The worst thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can learn to overcome that.
Oh, yeah. But there is where perhaps a person should try to stretch out his mind off of this earth a little bit further out and see what they could find that might replace that
mm-hmm.
terrible tragedy of being overcome by fear. Nothing much has happened. I think the most interesting period of my life was in the early days when in the winter time, your traffic traveling was mostly on the rivers.
Mm-hmm.
Built up ice, you know, so
mm-hmm.
it would hold the heavy equipment. Of course, you left the wood hauling and for power plants and various other things. Put a lot of people to work. Steamboats had to have wood to operate up and down the river, so there was many people engaged in cutting wood and piling it on the edge of the bank and hoping that the flood wouldn't carry it away before the steamers
mm-hmm.
could get it.
Mm-hmm.
And but people were different then. Different in that I mean their attitudes. It was more of neighbor helping neighbor, mm-hmm. or being concerned about mm-hmm. someone.
Don't you think that still exists?
Huh?
Don't you think that still exists?
No, not here in Alaska. Nothing like it used to. That's the point that I was trying to make, is that we have, that was a period when people were concerned about. Mm-hmm. Now, some are concerned, but I think that...
Is that when you were a child growing up?
Well,
or a young adult?
Yeah, when I was growing up.
Yeah.
The values that you learn when you're young mm-hmm. are usually carry over throughout your life.
Yeah.
You learn a lot of things that maybe are wrong, too.
You carry those throughout your life, too.
Yeah. Right? I remember Dad used to... Of course, he was a Westerner, you know, always coming across a little further west and further north, and came to Nome in, before the storm in 1900, and all over Alaska. And then kind of fell into the Fairbanks area in 1905, and been at home ever since then. But I remember he always would give you an axe for Christmas, or if you was going to do something out in around in the summertime, why, a new shovel was something mm-hmm. that was mm-hmm. nice to have. Well, now, you know, nobody would do that today.
I don't know.
And then he would say, well, that boy, golly, he's going to be quite a man. He's going to do real fine. But he should have said, knock you down, and which he often would do anyway, and say, now leave that damn axe alone, or that shovel alone, and use your brain, see? Mm-hmm. That's the difference between what used to be and the present time. Now the emphasis on use your brains and computers, but don't, for God's sake, learn how to do anything, you know, like raising a vegetable or something, because let somebody else do that. They're developing a class, dividing the people up into classes, and I'm strictly against that. I believe everybody is pretty well equal in as far as the mind and actions are concerned. Sometime during their life, wise, they're made equal,
mm-hmm.
but that matter of having free choice, you know, is the foundation of what makes all of the present civilization great, is that matter of free choice. That's what Christ tried to teach.
Mm-hmm.
Well, since the beginning of time, I'm sure that
it
showed a free choice. Mm-hmm. I just read the paper last night where Dr. Wood, who is acknowledged as a great builder, it says that we must plan for the future. Well, what the hell? Is he capable of planning any more than I am for what somebody's going to do 20 or 10 years from now, or even 5 years from now? And in the meantime, if you can plan something and get people to go along with it, well, then you've got control. And I think that's, and maybe they don't realize that, but that is what the ultimate is for some of these great builders.
Oh, I think that that's what they do have in mind.
Yeah. Control things.
Mm-hmm.
Government agencies in the past 15, 20 years has been for control. Class distinction. The poor, you know. I read in U.S. News and World Report, which came yesterday, that the poverty level is now $10,000, just under $11,000. for a family of four.
Mm-hmm.
And anybody that can't get along on $10,000, surely should be in a poor class. You know. But why divide people up into classes?
Well, don't you think living in Alaska, we've been lucky to escape some of this?
We have up to this point, yeah. But it's fast changing.
I think we're here because people have had enough space and land. There's something that occurs to me. I often wonder, does the land shape the person, or does the person shape the land? You know.
Well, that's a good point. I think there's a relationship between land and people. People are not tied down. Your land is not going to move very much unless there's a catastrophe of some kind, flood or earthquake or something. But people can change things, you know. But very few of the planners and regulators, and there's a lot of them, and the great builders don't take into consideration that the earth is changing.
Mm-hmm.
Evolution of the earth is far greater than evolution of man. Evolution, of course, is very controversial, but I believe in evolution, but it is evolution of the individual mind. That's it. You can increase through knowledge, you can increase health, if you want to.
Mm-hmm.
Most people don't want to.
Do you think it's a matter of most people aren't willing to accept responsibility for themselves?
No, hell, they want everything cut and dried, because they're being taught that.
Mm-hmm.
We must plan for you. Education is one of the things where they're trying to shape people along certain lines. Now, I had to be out in the hills in the winter of 46-47 alone, sent the family out to southeastern Alaska. And that was a real cold freeze as far as I'm concerned. My God, the temperature went down and down, you know, and couldn't hardly move. Fairbanks was tied up for days after day at a time, when even the planes couldn't take off or land, you know. But anyway, every once in a while, my mind goes blank.
It happens to me too, so
yeah.
Don't feel...
And I forget what I was talking about.
You were talking about 46, 47, you'd sent the family out?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know what point you were going
to... Well, that's... I was just trying to gather that.
Maybe thinking of self-reliance or of responsibility for self.
Yeah, perhaps, but...
Well, don't worry.
To be, to be out alone and putting everything happened... that shouldn't have happened, you know, as far as I'm concerned, but you have a chance to think about what are you doing here, you know. And I'd lost my radio and thermometer in the river, and it wasn't cold until later on in the winter when found out that it was really cold, and gee, I froze all the rest of the winter, you know, but actually, but warm up one or two days so it'd snow, a great big snow, and then get cold again. Well, I forget what point I was going to make on that. It must not have been very important.
Well, it'll come back a bit.
Well, perhaps. But
as you were growing up here with your parents and living more or less off the land and exploring the country?
Oh yeah, Dad done a lot of exploring. He was was interested in mining. of course. That was his main reason for coming north. But he had a great interest in the land. He was a great conservationist.
Mm.
My God, he'd go around a tree that looked good, you know, that would be right where the middle of the road should be, to save that tree. People don't do that today. They like to get it the hell out of the way, and if it's... well, that is kind of influenced us, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes the land produce. He was great for road building. And he liked to hunt. In fact, he came into the Circle Country in 1905 from Skagway, or from Dawson, and 1903, I should say, and hunted for the Barry Hamlin people, and there was an article in the paper about C.J. Barry and the Hamlin outfit in the Circle Country. And he hunted for them. That's the only way they had to survive was wild meat. And then he came into Fairbanks and put a pack on his back and started from the Cushman Street, going out Cushman Street where the bridge is there, and headed for the hills, put in a road, a trail, I should say, for double enders. Double ender was a sled 30 inches wide, and it had a turn up on each end flat, and you'd hook a rope between two or three of those, and you could handle about 250, 300 pounds on each double ender, and one horse could take two or three or even as many as four and stay right up on top of snow. So the trail didn't have to be very wide, but he went to the made that Bonnefield Trail over to the Alaska Range for the very Hamlin people. They mined on Gold King, in the Gold King area, until the flood came there. And well, that was a flood of 12 or 13. It was all that area out there downpour. Heavens opened up and just dropped water, and that filled in all their creeks and everything else. And washed one quartz mill over there on the Wood River, washed it right off the hill, and there was nothing salvageable left out of the whole business. And man, these two boys was operating on in Slide Creek area, mining, and they were doing real well, and by golly, it just liberated, destroyed everything that they had there. And that country grew back to willows and brush and everything, and the first time I was out there, you'd never know that there'd been anybody around.
Mm-hmm.
It just, and that, I think, is what I was getting at probably in when I started to talk about that cold winter, 46, 47, that Dad kept records of moss growth. Now we're getting to where they, this hullabaloo by so-called conservationists, it's most of them sat behind a desk in Washington, D.C. or someplace, you know, or down here in 2nd Avenue and Cushman Street. And they don't know. You probably don't know one kind of moss from another. But moss will grow a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And then winds and snow and dust and everything comes along and fills up most of that growth mm-hmm. during the winter, leaves and trash. So it starts in growing another little bit mm-hmm. the following spring. And the people don't want that destroyed, you see. They think that, well, it takes 100 years for that moss to grow. They don't realize that 100 years ago, this is down, way down here, builds up. So what they're doing by protecting the delicate tundra is to preserve the ice that is going to form in there and make it non-productive.
Mm-hmm.
Yet if you went out through some place and just walked through it, it would release growth. And that, I believe, is what everybody should do, is try to improve things. If you try to maintain the status quo, what are you going to end up with? You're going to end up with some place like Eastside New York, where buildings are tumbling down.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody would, in his right mind, would even want to drive through there, let alone live there, you know. And
well, I think that
why would you want to keep something as it might have been, and when you know darn well that year by year, why, here's this buildup.
Mm-hmm.
And just ordinary erosion, natural erosion, is going to change your...
I always have the feeling when I listen to them that they're more afraid of irresponsible people just turning up. I think that, you know, there's all sorts of people involved, and some fanatics and some that are just sort of concerned about people having no sense of responsibility about what they do.
Well, they like to get their name in the paper.
Mm-hmm.
They like to be recognized some way. And if they've been disappointed in love in the early age, like one of the writers in the Newsminer here, who I'm sure there must be something like that. Maybe they have walked out somewhere and seen some wild country, but they sure has spent most of their time behind a desk somewhere collecting money to protest. It brings up a little incident. I just got U.S. News and World Report, and it tells about the what do they call her, the Iron Woman?
Oh, I don't know.
Well,
great
anyway, it's our ex-environmental director.
Oh, Ann Burford.
And Mrs. Burford.
Mm-hmm.
She's a lawyer, by the way. When she was first suggested to be, or appointed to be head of the environmental department, why, they had some kind of a get-together to introduce her to people that was going to be around her. One of them was a lawyer, and the other one was a director of some department. She says, I'm going to eliminate your jobs. So, you see, there's no reason in the world why anybody would like her, and that was her. That was her.
You
see? That, so she had a strike against me. But gee, I just would like to have her drop in and be able to talk to her for a few minutes. But she had no tact.
None at all.
No. She doesn't care. But
she's lost her job again now, hasn't she?
Well, she quit because she said it didn't amount to anything. They only meet a maximum of three times a month, and it's advisory, and they just said they don't do anything.
Mm-hmm.
It's just an honorary job, but somebody's getting per diem or something.
That's right. Okay, somebody's paying a lot of money for that, getting paid a lot of money for that. Honestly.
I'm going to show you before you go a trail.
Uh-huh. Oh, I guess, yeah.
That I, 33 years ago, when we bought this property in here, there was no roads around, you know. The road was way over here on the Old Richardson Highway.
Mm-hmm.
and you had to cross a creek to get in here,
mm-hmm.
and there was a wood road, and I used to drive over to Moose Creek Bluff from mm-hmm. here. And sometimes the creek would be too high, and you'd have to turn around and go home and wait for the water to go down. But that road in 1949, I believe it was, or it might have been, yes, 1949, I drove up this road and stopped there because there was a bunch of grouse.
Oh.
So I went grouse hunting. And brush and everything that you see around here, huge spruce trees, was all about head. You could look over those.
Oh, yeah, look how huge they are now, yeah.
But this road is still there, and I want to show it to you to show the, what I'm talking about when you disturb this delicate country and growth takes effect.
Oh, okay.
You
know, yeah.
Okay. It doesn't stay the same as it was. And I think it improves it.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
But if you had just left it go,
mm-hmm.
why, it could go back to ice and snow.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's a big
and what object is it?
Mm-hmm. Well, do you think that relates to man's fear in a way, again?
Well, certainly. Certainly. That's it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, they're afraid that it might... they see... something there. They don't know. They don't know whether they like it or not because they don't know what it is. But underneath it might be ice or snow.
Do you think man's fear of change is more stronger now than it ever was before? Do you
Oh yes, because they're being taught that they must not. Well, there's like the scare about people using aerosol cans,
yes,
you know,
yes,
little cans.
Mm-hmm.
How ridiculous could it be? Mm-hmm. Of course, now, last year, they found out, well, that isn't so.
Mm-hmm.
And having to prove everything to people, I think that's silly.
Yeah. Do you think people are relying less and less on their own ability to think
things
through?
Yes, that's mm-hmm. the whole point. And they're still relying upon somebody telling them about this.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that's information they got from their
mm-hmm.
papa or grandpapa
mm-hmm.
or from
mm-hmm.
somebody. And was it correct? I don't think so. It's just like me trying to plan along with Dr. Wood for what should be here 20 years from now or even 5 years from now. It's utterly ridiculous. Not capable of doing it.
Mm.